KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them.
On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
Good morning,
Facebook
friends.
Where the heck's Neil Jensen today?
Watertown Radio Live friends, KS93, KSDR. We're all encompassing.
It's all Watertown Radio friends.
You're getting popular, Randy.
I am?
Yeah. We're up to 5 listeners.
Total of 5?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we got 6 today because Neil's off.
Oh, well, what are we going to do?
We're over. Then we got Ted, so that's 7.
Oh, Ted's
We're
on.
Way over Ted's our limit on. Of listeners today.
Yeah. Man. Good morning, and thanks to Ted Takasaki for visiting us. Ted, good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, guys.
We have, I've been just the last week, get up a little early in the morning, and I see you on TV. I see you, you know, Hummingbird TV, Hummingbird Electronics, featured you on a little show. You're hanging out in the Snow Bear, Helix 7 blazing away on perch. What have you been doing?
Oh, it's been fun, you know. I mean, I enjoy ice fishing, even though, you know, open water is my business, but I enjoy ice fishing. And when it comes to ice fishing, I like to ice fish when I'm comfortable and mobile and feel safe. So It's been great fishing out of that Snow Bear.
Oh, now you're making me want to go ice fish even when it's 5 below yesterday morning.
Or ice skating, whatever works best.
Or ice skating, yeah. Those Snow Bears are fantastic.
They are nice. Oh,
my word. That looked like a ton of fun, my friend.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, the great thing about a Snow Bear is that you don't have to wear a lot of clothes when you're in it. And, you know, basically, if you don't like where you're at right at that particular moment, you just pick up, you move somewhere else, you drop it back down, and drill holes. You never have to leave that machine. It's pretty awesome.
So where were you at? And you don't have to disclose all the favorite spots, but I saw a video this week. You and Tim Price were cruising on a lake and reeling up a few fish. Where you been?
Well, Tim Price, he works for Hummingbird. He's an expert with the machines. It's always great to have an expert with you. And we were out on Lake Ponset about a week and a half ago, and then also went to Lake Mitchell, both. And, boy, that was just a ton of fun. I mean, you know, we caught a ton of walleyes on Ponset, couldn't really find the big perch. And then when we were on Mitchell, we were catching crappies and bluegills, but just by the hand over fist. That is one incredible lake. I mean, just so many fish in there.
Pan fishing, what are you fishing the basin on Lake Mitchell? Or are you fishing an old weed line? I hear rarely of anyone going to Lake Mitchell. Of course, this part of the world. Was there a lot of people out there?
No, there wasn't anybody out there at all. I mean, we're fishing kind of the man-made structure that they put in the lake. Some areas they drop tire piles, and some places it's kind of brush piles, you know. But
yeah,
a lot of it's dropped by local conservation efforts.
Yes. You know, I always kind of wonder, because I see the ads around and I see the side of your truck. Randy, that skins it deal.
Oh, geez. I tell you, you know, we were just, I got to tell you about a skins it story here. Lynn and I were talking earlier. Went out and did some perch fishing, and we had 30 perch between us. And I'm not kidding you. I mean, and obviously some of them weren't the biggest perch, but we were still able to get a halfway decent fillet off it. And the nice thing about it was, with that skins it, we had one guy back in the fish, and within 20 minutes, we had them all cleaned up and ready to eat. That thing was phenomenal. And the nice thing about it was, even on the smaller fillets, you still got a good chunk of meat out of it.
Yeah.
Because
you
weren't beating it up.
Yeah, you know, man, I can even walk through an airport in Minneapolis, and somebody will stop me and ask me about that skins it, and does it work? And, you know, I mean, when I first saw it work, I mean, my jaw dropped to the table and couldn't believe it. And now after using it for the last 2.5 years, I mean, it truly is the most spectacular cleaning device I've ever seen. I mean, it takes the rib bones out, lickety-split, with no waste of meat whatsoever, and then you turn it over and you take the skin off, and, you know, I mean, you get a perfect, the perfect, absolute perfect filet-looking filet every single time.
It's the nice thing about it is it's not all beat up. You know, you don't have to have your knife so sharp and trying to back it like that, but it pulls the meat off so nice that there's no waste. It's zero waste.
Especially for those of us that have been beating up our fingers for a few years, Andy Angermeyer, working on our cars and fixing our equipment. Our thumbs aren't as nimble as they once were.
Yeah, it is a nice, it's nice. It, you know, it, and once you get moving with this thing, you get into a rhythm of it, and it's smooth.
Oh, that's good.
It is. I mean, the two guys that invented it, it is amazing. They are poetry in motion. They can go through 100 perch between the two of them. They can go through 100 perch in 20 minutes.
Where were these guys from, Ted?
The guys that invented the machine, they're from Okoboji, Iowa area originally. And they used to work for, their dad used to own a bait shop. And so the kids, as they were growing up, they cleaned the fish for like a nickel a piece. You know, and so they were pretty good fish cleaners to begin with. And back then they used this device called the Townsend fish skin. And it's just a little, it's a handheld device. It's got a clamp.
You turn it like a can opener.
Yeah, like a can opener, exactly. And they would take the sides off, and then they would take the rib bones and the skin off with this Townsend. And their dad always wanted to try to automate it, you know, try to make, you know, put a motor in it. And he passed away probably about 8 years ago, 7 years ago. And since then, the kids who used to clean the fish, they now own a big company, a big cable company in Omaha. So they decided they were gonna you know, automate it, and they went to a prototype company and they designed the ultimate fish skinner.
There's always a good story about a product that's out there.
Back when I was in high school, I worked at it.
Back in the day? When you could catch fish?
Yeah. Well, I worked
Neil was wondering who caught those fish you were cleaning the other
day. Oh, hell, man. I worked at Izadi's Lodge up down around Mille Lacs. I was the bait boy, and Grandpa was the pilot. And I tell you what, I wish they would have had a skinset back then. Because,
that's right.
Man, you know, we'd come back and we cleaned all the fish.
Oh.
And, I didn't think I even made a nickel of fish at that time, but it would have been handy.
Yeah,
I think they get a dollar a fish these days.
Are they really?
That's not too bad. I mean, if you can go through 100 fish in 20 minutes, you know, that's $100 in 20 minutes. That's not too bad.
I was happy to get a $10 tip, 1982.
Yeah, there you go.
What I did notice, Ted, to just kind of change gears just a little bit, it's tough for a lot of people out there to keep up with the electronics. They're changing so quickly. The product that looked, if I remember correctly, was a Helix 7. What's changing in that world, and what's gotten better, and what sets that thing apart for in the applications that you're using it for?
Well, first and foremost, I believe that electronics is probably the most important piece of equipment you can have on your boat or on the ice. They are your eyes underneath the water. It's no different than, a blind person without a seeing eye dog. I mean, that's really, our electronics allows us to see what's underneath the water and what we're fishing for and what we're fishing on top of. And that's where the Hummingbird has made our electronics so much easier to use than all the other units out there. I mean, the menus, the drop-down menus are easy to use. You turn on the machine, it's pretty much ready to go right at that point. You can make subtle adjustments to it if you want to just get a little bit better picture or define the picture that you want to see. And you know, that Helix 7, it's a really nice unit for the ice. You know, a lot of folks, you know, I talk to, use graphs on their boats, but then they use a flasher for the ice, and I keep scratching my head, and I can't figure out why, because the graph is so nice on the ice. You know, allows you not only to see what's going on right below you, but also allows you to see history, and you can see that fish moving up. Is the fish moving up towards your bait? Is the fish staying in one spot? Is it dropping away? How aggressive is that fish? And if you're not looking at your electronics the whole time, 100% of the time, and you look up, you look back down, and that fish has kind of gone through the cone underneath you, if you're not looking at it all the time with a flasher, you're going to miss them.
Right.
And with the graph, it shows up. So there's just a lot of advantages, I believe, to a graph when it comes to ice fishing, and I just couldn't do without my electronics on the ice.
And with the people being so mobile nowadays, with the invent of these fancy mobile big ice houses and shacks moving on and off, and little weather coming up, and a snow bear, and you know, I think the GPS is really, how can you go out without that nowadays?
Oh, yeah. You know, I didn't even mention that. I mean, having a mapping system of the lake right there in a Helix 7 and all the contours allows you to go right to the tip of a point, right to a hump, you know, on the edge of a flat that you've been fishing in the summer. Now you can go right back there during the winter. You've got, you know, mapping systems and location and being able to go right to spots with a graph. So the Helix has got it all pretty much.
I want to invite all the people that are listening in on the radio and on Facebook Live, that Facebook Live especially, if you have a quick question that you want us to ask Ted, we'll try to pick it up in this last 7 minutes that we're here. So speaking with Ted Takasaki today, Lund Pro, Mercury Pro, Skins It guy.
Snow bear guy. I was going to ask.
There's a snow bear fest coming up on Lake Winnipeg here yet in,
oh, really?
In this next 3 weeks.
I was going to ask Ted, you know, I've had some people ask about how many people can actually, you know, fish out of a snow bear? 2, 3, 4? I mean, are they all different sizes or what do you get?
Let's define what a snow bear is for those who don't know or haven't seen a snow bear. A snow bear basically is a fish house on tracks and skis. It's basically a snowmobile, only a big snowmobile that's got an enclosed fish house on top of it. It allows you to go anywhere on the ice or the snow that you want. All you need is about 10 inches of ice, you know, that allows you to put that snow bear on the ice. And it is mobile. You turn the motor on with the key. It's got a steering wheel. You're able to move anywhere you want. And you're able to fish pretty comfortably 4 people out of it. There's 4 holes. You could actually, if you're just going to drive around the ice, you know, and you want to, and you pull a couple portables behind it, then you can have more people in it. I could probably fit in my snow bear about 5 or 6 people, just if you're going to drive around on the ice.
Question.
But comfortably be fish. Four is a good number.
How about people? A question from the people is that do they float?
You know what it is? They've got an escape hatch right on the top. If in the unfortunate circumstance that the snow bear goes through, it is buoyant and will give you ample opportunity to get out of the machine.
That's top hatch. That's comforting to know.
Of the submarine hatch that's on top.
Oh, sure.
They do. They
exactly. Yep.
Well, they've been thinking.
Yep.
I guess
there have been instances where snow bears have gone through. Just like any other kind of machine that you drive on the ice, and it has allowed people to get out, you know. And the issue, you know, with trucks, I mean, the truck drops to the ice. I mean, it pretty much is split seconds and it's at the bottom of the lake.
Right.
You can't get your doors open.
So
do you have to bring it? Do you have to bring a heater with to heat these, or do they have a heater built in them, Ted?
Oh no, it's just like driving a car around on the ice or a truck on the ice. But it's really a snowmobile on the ice.
And do they have they put air conditioners in those things yet?
you open the top hatch.
If you want an air conditioner, you open up the top hatch.
Well, that ought to work.
I was fishing North Hazleton back in January.
Yeah.
And it was -25 when we went out. It was unbelievable. I was fishing with just a sweatshirt.
Yeah, and there's your air conditioner.
it's just like driving your truck. It's got a heater inside of it. A couple of them actually. You got a blower underneath the seats, and then a heater that comes from the top. So you've got, and then you got fans circulating the warm air around in the snow bear inside.
Well, those bad boys are revolutionizing too, from what they were when they came out. This is only a guess. 7-8 years ago, you started seeing them, but now they're making them a little more powerful, a little more faster. They're making the seats a little more comfortable. Yeah. I actually have a client. He calls it the King Ranch version of Snow Bears, where he's got the nice leather seats in there, and you know they're putting a little TV in them, and they're building them up with graphs, and before you know it, you got a couple bills into it. But hey, that's what people love.
You can put a generator on the outside of it. You got little shelves that you can put. Your cooler, and I mean it's gotta be the coolest. I mean I've done more ice fishing this winter than I have ever, and it's made it much more enjoyable for me, because I hate, you know how it is, you drive your truck on the ice, you get out, it's 20 mile an hour winds, 10 degrees, you're freezing, you gotta put the shack up. Then you got to haul the auger and all the fishing equipment.
Mark your holes, pull the shack away.
You drill your holes. You got to tie down the shack.
Yeah, turn around, chase the shack for a mile.
Yeah, exactly. And then when you get it all set up, you drill your holes and there's no fish.
No fish. So you got to do it again in 10 minutes.
Then you don't want to pack it all back up and then move. So it's just. This thing is like instantaneous. You drop it to the ice. You drill your holes. If it's not good, you press a button. It comes back up, and then you go to the next spot. You just drive right there. You never have to get out of the machine once.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Do they license these like a snowmobile then, Ted?
As far as I'm aware.
Just the trailer. The trailer needs to be licensed. And okay. I just talked to Ricky Whitlock. Mm-hmm. Last night we were finishing up our sausage, from Advantage, and there, I believe they've made 3 or 4 enclosed trailers for these now, and there's an order for 6 more. That's the only thing licensing, but that's what's kind of making these a little more fun too, is that it's cool, and they got lights in them, and they're putting extra doors on these enclosed trailers, and. There's a few heading up towards what's the place in Sisseton, Ted?
Glacier Lake Snow Bear in Sisseton.
Yeah, Adam. I think Adam's gonna have him. I think if you called Adam, he'd know where to find you one. I think he's got these on order right now. So
Ted, next time you're up in the Watertown area, you give Lynn and I a call, and we'll go snow bearing with you.
Yes.
You bet.
Yes. Didn't I just say we only had seven minutes left? Sorry, Ted.
You just call me and let me know where the fish are biting.
All right, but we're not going to give anyone else your phone number, because we kind of want to be on the top of the list.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Well,
it's a long list. Lynn.
Yes.
A long list of people would love to fish out of that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it seems like I just said the last 7 minutes, but we reached the top of the hour. We want to respect our other listeners that are ready for some of this national news where they're going to steal your guns away from you now. So we're going to slow this thing down. Ted, one last word we'll give you, and then we'll head towards the board.
Well, I appreciate it, Lynn. It's time to get out there on the ice. There's not a whole lot left, even though the ice is thick. I guarantee you the ice is going to melt, and we'll be in open water here pretty soon with our boats.
All right. Ted Takasaki with us. This week on
Mr.
On the Water
Snowbear,
in the Air.
Mr. Skinsit, and yes, Mr. Lungboats. Thank you, Ted.
That was fun. And Mr. Hummingbird.
Yes,
we got him covered
today.
Yes,
we do.
We're going to send this over for another week of On the Water in the Air to Randy Grimes.